Two Dead Girls and Jubilene contains material that may be upsetting to some audiences, including sudden loud noises, adult language, and depictions of murder and suicide. For more information, please find us on Instagram at Two Dead Girls Pod. That's the number 2 Dead Girls Pod.
I'm in the statue park, or something like it. I'm seated on a stone bench, with my father at my side. Ahead of us, draped in a twilight fog, is the unblinking figure of my sister. She'll be killed 100 years ago. She was killed 100 years from now. She's being killed today. I know, without knowing how, that it doesn't make any difference. Here, in this time between times, this place between places.
So, did you solve the mystery?
I wish you didn't leave me with it. I wish you'd finished it yourself. Or better, never started. What's the point? Justice? Revenge?
I'm not sure it's that simple.
Annie?
Hello, Myra.
What's it like? Being dead?
It's like floating. You let the water hold your weight. Let your ears bob just below the surface. It's quiet. Weightless. Senseless. And as you float, you realize that the boundary between you and the water and the sun, it isn't real. Everything is just one thing going on forever.
Does it hurt?
Not as much as being alive.
No. Not as much as being alive.
I'm so sorry, Annie. If I had known, I would never have sent you alone.
Myra. Do you remember the last thing you said to me?
I'm the one that caught that fish.
I meant before that.
I know what you meant. That you couldn't blame me because it was your fault, too. So what?
What are you doing in Jubilee?
What you told me to do on the tape.
And that is?
Trying to catch whoever killed Annie and Jesse and you.
Well, then, you must realize it wasn't you.
What?
If it was your fault or my fault, there'd be nothing to investigate.
You did this whole thing because you want me to forgive you.
I want you to forgive yourself. I'm dead, so you can do what you want with me.
Pa? Annie? Hello? Wait!
I hurtle through the nothing.
Pa! Don't go!
There. Head.
Annie!
I close the gap. Extend my hand.
Don't leave me!
I catch Annie by the shoulder. Turn her to the light.
Annie!
But her face is all wrong. Waterlogged skin peeled back. Worms tumble from rotten eye sockets. Her neck is a ghastly, bulbous purple. The fatal mark. Annie? And Paul, his chest flayed, organs dripping, limbs dangling, reaching, clawing. I wake on Liam's couch, wearing an oversized Baltimore PD hoodie. I've got a splitting headache. am otherwise unharmed.
Tonight's top story, a deadly storm, a missing girl, and in Jubilee, Indiana, a homicide investigation.
Annabelle was this beautiful, innocent little girl.
Well, beautiful is a stretch. Hang on, are you recording this?
We're learning a second girl, Jessica Kaplan, has been found dead in Jubilee.
There was no wiggle room for gut instincts. And anyway, this wasn't anything concrete, just a confluence of coincidence.
We ran into Oscar today. He said he spoke to Pa just before Pa died.
So I took off in the station wagon, half drunk and crazy. I was aiming for oblivion. Aiming to leave old Ed crying in his car, outside of my field.
This is Two Dead Girls in Jubilee, Chapter 10, A Place Between Places. Is he dead?
Hey. Yeah. Oscar's dead. How's your head?
It hurts.
You can put some ice on it. I'll have eggs in a minute.
Maisie slept on the lazy boy, Ed noticed. And me on the couch, and Liam on the floor between. It seems sweet, if I had the bandwidth for that right now. Instead, I just pick at the blood under my fingernails. Oscar's blood.
I heard the gunshot. That's how I found the cabin. You were on the ground in a puddle of blood, and I was afraid that you were... Well, you know.
I tried to stop him. He knocked me down, I think. Things are pretty foggy after that.
Well, you bumped your head pretty good. Here. Eat. I pulled you out and you sat in the car while we processed the scene. Me and Denson.
Does he know I was there?
He'll keep his mouth shut. And Darla. Threatened her within an inch of her life. I feel awful. For putting you in that situation.
It was my choice.
But I knew better. Well, the stuff between us clouded my judgment.
I would have done it even if you'd said no. And then, everything would have been the same, except nobody would have found me.
You should call Birdo. I gave him the cliff notes, but he won't stop worrying until he hears your voice.
Okay. Yeah.
I wish I hadn't dragged you back into this.
I don't. I came here, originally, to try to understand Pa. The hole he left behind. And I got a piece of that last night.
Do you think Oscar was telling the truth?
Hey, Maisie. I don't know what to think.
Did you tell her?
Tell me what?
There was a tape in Oscar's pocket. Gary Morris. 100% chance of rain. Mrs. Abernathy.
Sheriff, I brought you and Maisie a casserole. I always make one for the bereaved. But Oscar didn't leave anyone behind, so... I guess it's you that's the injured party, having to clean up the mess.
No secrets in Jubilee.
No. It's a miracle anyone found him. He could have mummified out there.
We got an anonymous tip.
Hello, Myra.
Hey.
Nice sweatshirt. Well, instructions are right on there. Preheat to 350, warm at 30 minutes. It'll keep a week.
I'll put it in the fridge.
I was worried about you. Why didn't you call?
I don't want to do this right now.
I realize you're an adult, but you're living under my roof. I'd rather you just go back to Chicago if you're gonna go sleep in laps around Jubilee.
Oh, please.
Sorry. Sorry. I just don't like all this sneaking. All this death. Feels like 97.
Yeah. I know.
It's my fault Myra didn't come home.
Oh, hello, dear.
Hi. We had a slumber party. Dad doesn't like it when I stay home alone. He was off in the woods all night.
Well, I support anything that ensures young ladies are not left unattended in Jubilee.
Hey, Mom. Do you remember why Pa and Oscar stopped being friends?
Some hunting thing. You know how men are.
Were they more than friends? Ma?
Call if you aren't coming home.
Ah, the old workshop. Trying your hand at redecorating, are you?
Yeah, I switched the bench and the desk.
And then turn loose a pack of rabid raccoons?
Yeah, something like that.
Where's Brenda?
Being awarded Sagamore of the Wabash for some work on missing kids.
Does she know I'm out here?
No. I broke into Wayne Harmon's trailer the other day.
That was you? The hell were you doing in there?
Looking for polka dot tights.
Did you find them?
No.
How long you been doing this to yourself?
I started in when Myra left for school.
Jesus.
It was just case files at first, just passing sleepless nights. But after Annie's 20th, after Myra and I, hell, things got out of hand.
And it led to Wayne?
Yeah. Maybe.
Huh. You remember the day they offered you the plea deal? That was it for me. Felt guilty. This was 2, maybe 3 hours before Jesse got snatched, and I was the only one in Jubilee who knew you weren't the killer. But telling how I knew would wreck all's left of you.
If this is about learning to forgive myself...
I haven't. If you ain't, that's your own business. So, I wrote it all down. Your alibi. Put it in a sealed envelope on my kitchen table, addressed to you. Then I walked out to the front, sat down in the dandelions, and did what I'd been meaning to do one way or another since the day Annie disappeared. Slipped my wrists all the way up to the elbows.
Oscar!
I'm not asking for sympathy. I'm just saying... I'd have been a goner, except Wayne Harmon come along, threw me in his truck, rushed me to St. Bart.
Wayne Harmon was with you during Jesse's murder?
Yep. He couldn't have killed the girls.
Oh, God. Sometimes I think Annabelle dying was my God-given punishment.
For what?
For cheating on my wife. For betraying my girls.
That ain't fair to anyone.
Well, neither is Annie being gone. There's a certain logic to it.
God damn it, Edward. Will you tell me what's going on here?
I was walking the trails up by the Old Town Quarry this morning, thinking about Annie, about Jesse. While I was gone, somebody broke in, tore this place apart. He was looking for my notes. trying to stop my investigation. I'm close, Oscar, and I think whoever he is, he knows it.
Who knows it? Who would want to... Oh. Jesus.
We were friends once, Oscar. I trust you. And I need someone I trust. If something happens to me, Myra is going to come home. I need you to watch her back until she knows enough to watch her own.
If you're really in danger, why don't you call her and tell her?
I've spent 4 years imagining that call going straight to voicemail. Nobody ever calling back.
Not much practical difference between this and that, though, is there?
Maybe not.
There's no great secret to it, you know. You say you're sorry, that you regret it. She accepts it or she don't. Nothing else to be done.
I guess I thought if I went to her with something in hand, answers about Annie, I thought seeing the real killer brought to justice, it might mean I could stop seeing him in the mirror. That Myra could stop seeing him in the mirror.
Edward.
Trust no one. Tell no one.
Why do you think she'll trust me?
Because she'll have this.
Are you recording?
I wanted her to hear it wasn't coerced.
What wasn't?
Me. When I say you're the one person she can trust, that if she wants to finish this, she just might have to.
Home sweet home. You gonna be okay in there?
Yeah.
Oscar, and what he said about you, Dad, and how he went. It's a lot for a person to process. Emotionally.
Yeah.
Hey. You ever think going it alone? Keeping it all bottled up? Maybe that's not... working out so great.
Big talk coming from you.
So maybe I know better than anyone. No more secrets, remember?
It hurts that he didn't feel like he could tell me. Pa, I mean. About who he really was.
It must have been a shock for you.
That's the thing. I think I already knew. Well, not knew. Exactly, but just recognized it. Like it was there all along, it just didn't have a name until Oscar. Oscar didn't deserve this.
No.
Pa said he was trying to absolve me. But now he's dead, and Oscar's dead. And it all goes back to me. It doesn't feel like absolution.
None of this is your fault.
People keep saying that, but some of it is, Liam. I'm not trying to be melodramatic, and I obviously didn't intend any of it, but some of it is my fault. I'm causing more harm than good. Before I thought that I got sucked back here because I was supposed to end this. But now I think maybe the best way to honor Pa's memory and Oscar's memory is to do what they couldn't. Just let it all go. Let the cycle of blame and tragedy end. And forget about the Jubilene child killer.
Are we talking hypotheticals?
No. I don't think so.
Okay.
Do you blame me?
No. No, of course not.
I left the notebook and the tapes under your coffee table. Just don't feel obligated to continue all this without me.
Hey, hang on. Is this goodbye?
Let's not make it hard.
Tell that to Maze. She's going to be very upset not to see you again.
She's gotten over worse.
Don't do that.
Do what?
Push us out, like you do everybody else.
Sometimes I think you're the only person who really understands me.
Myra, I didn't...
No, I mean it. You're right. But I can't help it. You get that, don't you?
Yeah. I guess I do.
You could call us victims, Liam and me. Or survivors. But really, we exist in the place between those places. Too tough to be fully broken. Too hurt to fully heal. Liam has become the sort of person who has to really wind up to say something from the heart. And I've become the sort of person who can always see that coming. Who leaves before the other person finds the words. And so, I pack my things. Ma and I promised to get together for Christmas. It sounds as empty as it did the day I left for school. I tell her she'll have to be careful without me or Pa around. But I happen to know she'll be safer without us. Without anyone antagonizing serial killers. I loop the Prius the long way around the Old Town Quarry, determined to avoid any more accidental stops in the statue park. I wonder who will scrape the bird shit off my sister. I wonder if anyone will go to a wake for Oscar Stillwell. Then, rolling cornfields give way to old-growth hickory, and for once, those stubborn race cars often can't go quiet. I pass the spot where Liam pulled me over to ask about Johnny Law, this time with nothing but the past in my rearview mirror. Halfway to Terre Haute, I pass a rundown diner with a big yellow awning. I remember Liam's story about a tenderloin sandwich so good he decided to move to Jubilee. It could be the size of a porterhouse and fried in truffle oil, and it still wouldn't change my mind about this place. But I am a little hungry.
Two melts and a slice of apple. Call if y'all need anything else. You lost, honey?
Oh, I, yeah, just not geographically.
Table for one?
Mm-hmm. Hey, does a sheriff from Jubilee ever come in here?
Liam? About every week. You a friend?
Oh, I guess.
Well, he ain't here today. He always sits in that booth by the window. Waits, you know, when it's occupied. Of course, it usually ain't, since they opened that bypass.
May I?
Please. I can get you a menu, but a tenderloin's the only thing that's half decent.
One of those, then. Thank you.
All right.
I take in the unremarkable diner, its sun-cracked vinyl booths and cigarette stains. I've got a sight line to the kitchen, and I watch as a 17-year-old kid bangs two freezer-burned tenderloins against a counter until they split. He drops the smaller one back in the icebox, the bigger one in the fryer. I imagine Liam sitting here, deciding to give up Baltimore and make a life in Jubilee. I don't understand it. Probably never will. I turn to look out the window, marveling at the emptiness of 41. Magic of the bypass, I guess. The Tenderloin Grill was once a place between places, but now the between is somewhere else. This is just another nowhere diner. Catty corner to a nowhere gas station, and tucked behind that, a roadside flower shop. It'd be out of sight from any other seat in the restaurant. But from here, I can just read the cheeky window sign, "Come on in, business is blooming." It's called Sunflower Arrangements.
Now, where'd she go? Hi,
Hi there.
Oh, Hello.
I didn't mean to startle you. Anything I can help you find?
It took some digging and a heated argument about the necessity of such a thing, but Berto did eventually get me a picture of Liam's wife, Nika Esfahani. I had told myself, as I studied the picture, that this was a matter of academic curiosity, a much-needed distraction from Annie and Pa. Was that the truth? Increasingly hard to say.
I have chrysanthemums in season.
I'm looking for sunflowers. My name is Myra. Abernathy.
Well, you came to the right place. I'm Nikki. Did someone send you? We don't get a lot of drop-ins, so...
I just happened to see your sign. I was over at the diner across the street.
Oh, I hope you didn't eat the tenderloin.
Actually, a friend recommended it. Liam Shepherd?
How long?
How long what?
How long has he known I'm here?
He never... Oh my God, I'm sorry. I have to go.
Wait. Are you two together?
He's just a friend. He told me a little bit about you once. I stopped at the diner and I guess I connected the dots.
You must think I'm a monster.
I might understand better than you think.
The truth is, I never envisioned myself as a married woman, as a mom. I found it all so...
suffocating?
Yeah. I thought I'd go for a few days, a week. But it just compounded. I felt I could never explain myself. Except by erasing myself.
I've been there.
Are they doing well?
He's a good dad. Maisie wants to be a detective. You could visit. I could leave you Liam's number.
Has he ever told you about his dog?
No.
He had an old dog named Louie. When I saw it, the first time I went back to his place, I said it was never going to work between us. He thought it was a joke. But there really was something to that. Him being a dog person. He liked curling up next to someone on the couch. He liked protecting the people he loved. I'm a cat person. I was never able to let myself need Liam for anything. He tried to rescue me. But sometimes cats are better off on their own.
I nod in understanding, but my mind is far away, turning from Nikki to Liam, to Oscar Stillwell, Annabelle Abernathy, and the Jubilene child killer. To another place between places. And a clue that could end this once and for all. I have to go.
Hey. Do you know what sunflowers symbolize?
No.
Hope. I've been here long enough to know the stories, Myra Abernathy. I hope your family finds peace.
Tear apart the pieces of our home. I've never wanted to know why you could never let go.
Two Dead Girls in Jubilene was written, directed, and produced by Ethan Whelan. It stars Emily Goss as Myra, Zachary Cantrell as Liam, Susan Harmon as Brenda, Michael McShane as Ed, John Ali as Oscar, Haley Kewen as Maisie and Nikki, Carrie Gutierrez as Annabelle, original score by Kevin Hutchins, associate producer Emily Goss, associate producer Zachary Cantrell. One Eye Open was written and recorded by Andrea Perez and Peyton Widener.
I guess I've never wondered what you were searching for.
Thanks to Kat, Ron, the Evans, Monisha, Jack, David, and Tyler, without whom there could be no Jubilee. If you enjoyed listening, please rate and review on Apple Podcasts, or tell a friend. For cast bios, episode transcripts, and more, find Our Little Town on Instagram, at @2deadgirlspod. That's at @2deadgirlspod. Thanks.
I'm walking this way again with one eye open.
Two Dead Girls in Jubilene is a work of fiction. Any resemblance to real events or to persons living or dead is purely coincidental.